production crew members and police officers as well. Tread lightly through that area. Northbound Lane 17 North and Laurel Construction. Outside of that, everything looks like it's moving along pretty well in and throughout the Monterey Bay area. For your 7-day forecast, it is currently 43 degrees at the KSCO station. We're looking at chance of showers later this evening. Lows into the 30s. Note, for the next 3 days, frost advisory is in effect. If you're driving in work early in the morning heading through 17, just keep your eyes open for slick spots there, and just keep that in mind. Frost advisory in effect Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're going to have sunny days throughout, highs in the 50s, clear, then frost, lows into the 30s for those nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Saturday coming around, we have mostly sunny skies. It's going to get a little bit warmer for us this weekend, highs in the 60s. Saturday night, expect some cloudy skies, then a slight chance of rain, lows into the 40s. Sunday, rain as well, and rolling into Monday, too. For you boaters, small craft advisory in effect through Tuesday evening. Small craft advisory is in effect through Tuesday evening. And with that said, without further ado, it's time for Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Love that roar.
Time to wake the bear.
That's right.
California is the bear, and it's time to wake her up.
That's right. What an interesting day. It's 2-2-2-2-2-2 or something like
that. Is that like a palindrome? It goes both directions?
Yeah.
And it flips upside down as well.
There you go.
Mirrored exactly
the
same.
Right.
This way and that way and that way.
Very interesting day.
Yeah, it's got to be significant. It has got to be. So, God is in the numbers, and I think he's having fun today.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think the tube symbolizes return, renewal, revival, repentance, return. Let's do it again. Let's do it again, Lord. Do it again.
Oh, amen.
We heard of your wonders. Do it again.
Yeah, I remember, what is it? Sean Foyt was big onto 222. Everywhere he'd go, you know, he'd be assigned to a room, 222 at a hotel, and parking space, all kinds of things. So that's interesting.
Well, we got a great show for you tonight. We got a guest speaker calling in just a few moments. We've got some crazy happenings. I mean, if you're feeling like things are heating up and it's getting intense, you're paying attention. But we just want to say right now, though the darkness gets darker, the light will expose it. And that's what we're seeing going on right now, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. It's slow, but it's happening. And it's exciting, I think. I mean, just even this week's been a crazy week. A week ago with the John Durham report, you know, a little bit more was exposed. And it basically revealed that Hillary Clinton paid for all this opposition research on President Trump.
Yeah.
And it wasn't only when he was a candidate.
No.
It actually goes to when he was actually in the office of the presidency, which is a huge thing. They're saying this is much, much bigger than Watergate.
It's a federal crime.
Oh, yeah.
To spy on a sitting president. Even if you don't like him and you don't like his orange hair.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's illegal. And this the Durham report has shown that it's absolutely, certainly proven that she paid for all of the opposition research that created all of these lies that the media just went whack, 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 whack.
Yep.
Yeah,
if you look at the servers, I mean, the servers, the most secure White House has got to be one of the most secure locations in the whole country, right? I mean, your center of power is there. And yet that was supposed to be just, you know, hacked in, had to be inside people, paid off, all kinds of things. So it was definitely a big bombshell. And what's really interesting is you probably remember, Chris, of how when it was the Mueller report, right? Oh, Russia collusion. And every night, what was happening every night? It seemed like on the news.
24/7.
Wow, 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 wow.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Russia, 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 yeah.
Yes.
24/7 coverage of that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep. And now we have, we hear crickets. Nobody's talking about it. A little bit on Fox, so. Mm-hmm. And they're having a good time. They're having a heyday with it because they're playing all this old footage of, oh, there was no, you know, there was total Russia collusion or no one was spying on Trump. No, none at all. And, you know, they're, so they're playing, they're having their fun playing all that fake news that, you know, they got caught red-handed in CNN and MSNBC, CBS, ABC, all those, you know.
Justice will have her day.
That's right.
Yeah, what did Dr. King say? The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yeah.
Mm, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of another justice piece is Kyle Rittenhouse, right? You remember him back in the Kenosha with the riots and stuff. He came out to protect some property, had a gun, and all of a sudden everybody in the media and actually the resident Biden also referred to him as a white supremacist. Mm. They, you know, they slandered his name big time. So he actually just started a group. It's called a Freedom or Media. What was it? It's an act actually, and it's a group of lawyers that will be suing the media for all their slander. And wow, he's got a great case. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to see that.
Well, that's the only way we're going to see things change is people got to take people to court. You got to go through the discovery, and people need to lose money, and that's when you're going to see change happen. Yes. Accountability.
That's it. It's Media Accountability Act. Yeah. So he's pushing that. And one more thing was, you know, we've been hearing a lot about the truckers in Canada with Trudeau. You know, it was really shocking to see, but apparently Trudeau called in UN troops on his own people.
Yeah.
And we say they're UN troops because people have been doing the research. They're looking. They go to the nearby airports. They've got these planes that are UN that come in, and it was snowing. There's no snow on these planes. Yep. It showed that they just came in. And so you have all these, you know, just differently uniformed people that don't speak the language out there. And the videos are just heartbreaking. I don't know if you saw any of that.
Yeah, I saw the videos. They have no insignias on them other than just a generic police. They have uniforms. They don't stand. They're not like young military. They're not like young cops. They stand like military. The reports are that they're taking people, they're arresting people, then they're taking them a few miles out of the city and dropping them off because they have no legal right to arrest anybody for what they're doing because what they're doing is not illegal. So Trudeau has brought in literally foreign mercenaries to stand against the Canadian people, and that's going to come out. Yeah. And that comes out. I mean, he's already lost. But that's going to come out, and that's because they can't get their own police who have sworn to protect the people to act against their own countrymen. Even the police chief of Ottawa stepped down, resigned, said, I'm not doing this. And then they hired another guy who's just a total lackey. He's a total pawn, and he sounds like somebody straight out of 1930s Germany.
Yeah.
Wow. Gestapo.
Yeah, I saw some of the shop owners, and they were refusing to let those UN troops in their store. They say, we are not servicing these individuals. They are not us.
Wow.
So the people of Ottawa, they know what's going on.
Yeah, if you look at Twitter, the Ottawa police, it's like, it sounds straight out of Germany. It's gnarly what they're saying. Where anybody who's been involved at all in these protests, we're going to go after your bank accounts. We're going to go after you.
Yeah, they're even taking their pets and stuff. And if they don't get claimed within like 8 days, they'd euthanize them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fidel Jr., you have your plans and Freedom has theirs. So
it's good, to know. It's the scriptures say that the Lord in heaven laughs. He scoffs at those. The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed. And it's because he laughs because he knows the end of the book. We know the end of the book. And evil loses.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing all this month. We've been talking about peaceful resistance and what that looks like, and we want to encourage people that the normal person has a place to stand up and speak. And we've been talking about the national influence with the convoys. There's going to be an American convoy. If you're on Highway 1 tomorrow, you might see some of the supporters going down Highway 1 because the American convoy is going to be meeting in Barstow tomorrow and leaving from California to Washington, D.C. And that's an example of an organized effort, but they're individual efforts too, and often those individual efforts, they take the greatest amount of courage. And we have a guest tonight, Christy Lorenzo, and she is all the way from Santa Barbara. You may have seen her on the Ingram Report. She gave her eyewitness account and her testimony, and we're going to be welcoming her to the show right now.
Yeah.
All right. Can you
hear
us?
Hi, Christy.
Hi. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Did we say your last name correctly?
Yeah, Lozano.
Lozano.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Christy Lozano.
Awesome.
Sorry about that.
It sounds like the word courage, Lozano. It must mean courage because you are a courageous woman.
Thank you.
Stepping up and exposing the darkness. We just appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yep.
Well, wow. We are so proud of your story. Christy's actually the daughter of a friend of mine, and when she was on the Ingram angle, my friend called me, and she is so proud of you, Christy, let me tell you. And I bet that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, because your mom is a trooper. But we want to hear a little bit about your story tonight. Let me just give a little bit of background. What I understand is your bio. You're a teacher in Santa Barbara. You are also a veteran. You served in the Armed Forces, the Air Force, for about six years. Is that right? Both domestically and abroad. You know how to use a gun. You carry a gun and you know how to use it. You know how to protect our nation. We say thank you for serving.
Yes.
But you're also beautiful. I know the radio audience cannot see your picture, but you're a beautiful woman. You're a strong woman. Yep. You're feminine. You stand as a mama bear for children, and it comes out loud and clear. So we had heard about you because there's something that made you stand and walk over a line that you hadn't walked over before. Tell us why you were on the Ingram Report and what it was that they picked up and wanted to share with the nation's news.
Yeah, so in Santa Barbara, there's a lot of this culturally responsive curriculum that's come in over the last 10 or 15 years into our district, and they've done a lot of training with teachers, and I've known it's wrong for the time that it's been going on, but I haven't known where it's headed, and I haven't known exactly what they're doing with it. And recently, I discovered this teacher password portal where they have all of this information, and it's for teachers. And I've seen them training teachers in it on a monthly basis and staff meetings, and I'm aware, but I kind of just put all the pieces together. And I saw some of the curriculum for myself, and it was awful. And I started going through it, and I just felt like in the gut of my being, like, I cannot not talk about this. And so I made a video, and I gave my background because I feel like, you know, people want to vet you a little bit to know, like, where you're coming from. And I basically walked parents through the portal, and I felt like that was important so that it wasn't just my words, but it was showing them for themselves what is, you know, teachers are looking at and being trained in and teaching their children. This portal's not open to parents, so parents wouldn't be aware of it. And so I made the video, and I walked parents through the portal. And then I talked about what I felt like were the solutions. And I'm a solution person. And I feel like, you know, we have to give people the opportunity to make it right and to do the right thing. And so by making the video, I've gone to school board meetings. I've been speaking at meetings. The board doesn't listen. You know, they call parents terrorists. They call people terrorists that disagree with them. And so I didn't think having a conversation was really the way to go. It was more taking action and showing people what it is, and so that, you know, not just for myself showing it, but the parents could go to the board also and call them to account.
So you try the dialogue first, and you try the public process that's recommended, and that wasn't taking you anywhere?
That was not taking me anywhere. I have contacted every, like, the board members. I've contacted the superintendent. I've personally tried to go down and talk to them about different problems, and they continually blow me off. They blow people off that want to talk to them. They blow parents off constantly. I personally have gone to the board meetings and tried to speak, and it doesn't go anywhere. And so I figure I've done my due diligence to be heard, and so we have to you know, take other measures. Like, there's ways to be heard, and we have to keep pursuing that truth and that, you know, and them hearing us, and at whatever cost. And so I decided to make the video, and the crazy thing is I didn't actually send the video out. It kind of got discovered, and I really felt like it was the Lord's timing. Like, the Lord definitely has hand in this, and before I knew it, the video was going viral, and then I got in within like 24 hours, I got an email from Fox News, and they wanted to share the story, and so they just asked me to validate the video that I made, and I did. I said, yes, it's Santa Barbara Unified, and they, Laura blasted it out, and it went crazy, and then a couple days later, they asked me to come on the show and to talk about it, and I did, and I'm proud of that, in the fact that, you know, I think it's had a very big effect. You know, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of work for us to still do, and, you know, and I'm willing to be part of that process. I'm the type of person, I roll up my sleeves, and let's get to work, and let's change things around, and it's taken about 10 or 15 years to come in to our district. It's going to take us time to get it out. We have to band together, and we have to keep fighting it and doing, you know, all the things we can to push against it.
Wow.
So I'm just curious, what was the response from the school when they saw this video go viral, even maybe after even being on Laura Ingraham's show? I mean, how did they respond to that?
Well, they didn't respond to me directly, but they have, because they control the media in Santa Barbara, they have had some of their, very far left journalists write very negative articles, write a very negative article about me specifically and Laura Ingraham. They, you know, try to control the narrative. They've actually posted that article twice now in this little newspaper that we have in Santa Barbara. And they have their people that they line up to call into school board meetings to say the things that they want to say. We had a school board meeting tonight, and it was just lined up with their, with parents that are kind of in their side of the track or whatever, calling in and saying the things that they want them to say, so that they can still try to, I mean, I think it's been pretty impactful because of their response has been so strong. Mm. But that's a good sign.
Yes.
I take that as a good sign.
Do you have you gotten any grassroots parents on your side that have supported? There's not a two side being presented at the school boards right now. You're still kind of the lone champion?
Well, there's a good group of parents. There is a good grassroots group. It's hard because I think parents need to be educated, and there needs to be ways for us to continue to educate them. I will continue to make videos. I will do, you know, parent workshops. I will do any of those things that it takes to kind of get parents up to speed, because things are coming a mile a minute. And, you know, when we go to a school board meeting, we don't know exactly what's going to be said. And if parents aren't educated, they don't know how to respond. They don't also know how to call into the school board meetings and say things that are meaningful and productive if they don't really understand what's being discussed. The school board members know, because they're the ones, you know, running the meeting. And so they can have their people ready, and they can have their people. And in Santa Barbara, it's gotten to a level where they script kids, they script the students, and they have students calling in. And then when, you know, the students speak, and they say, well, we're going to support the students, so we're going to do what the students want. But, you know, they've scripted them. So
that's interesting. I was wondering how the students were responding and whether they even realized they were part of the wokeism indoctrination process, or whether they picked that up. But you've got students who have been hand-selected as part of the echo chamber messaging. Right back, that the media can they can focus on and say, see, that the children do want this.
Exactly. Wow. And it's really sad because these kids want they want a voice and they want to be advocates. And they're, so they're taking advantage of that desire for them to be, which is a really good thing. It's a really good quality in kids. Mm-hmm. But they're using it for the wrong purpose. And they're not developing their opinion. They're just, you know, putting words in their mouth and using them as a shill. And so it's really, it's scary. And parents should be really concerned and scared that, you know, if they don't have a greater influence on their kids and these people, they're going to cause a divide between parents and kids. And it's scary. And I do not want to see that happen as a teacher. And I will, you know, do what I can to help turn that around.
Wow. Well, we want to thank you. Have you heard of, there was a report earlier, it was last week, of a mother in Spreckles who was called into a school, and she had an 11-year-old daughter that was going to the school in Spreckles, and she was told that no longer was she to call her daughter she, but he, and that her daughter had changed the name, and it had been changed in the school record. And it was just this woman's testimony just ripped my heart out, as though she was doing something terrible. And then that was pre-COVID. And then when COVID happened, the daughter no longer had those individuals. I mean, she was 11 years old, and there were two teachers that had targeted her as possible trans or mm-hmm. bi. And so they were holding her after school and helping groom her mm-hmm. for her next actually to do some gender changes. And it started with a name and some pronouns being changed. But the mother was smart enough to get legal advice right away, and she has some pretty big guns behind her legally.
And the daughter also wind up, because of COVID, right, she wind up staying home and realized, you know, I don't have those feelings.
That's right. I want to be a girl. What was I thinking?
Right. Right. You have to combat those things, and you can't be passive about it. You have to be aggressive in pushing back and taking back your kids from these people, because they're very manipulative. They will say all the right things, and who doesn't need to hear good things, especially kids, you know, how great they are, how much people care for them and that kind of stuff. But it is a grooming technique.
Yeah.
And I think Spreckles is up in Salinas. And interestingly, there are a few individuals. One was hired in Salinas, one was hired in Santa Barbara, to do just those things that we're talking about. And so some places in California are being targeted, and I believe those two places are two of the places being targeted by all of these grooming techniques. CRT is grooming, the sex ed curriculum stuff is grooming, the social emotional learning that's going to be big coming in right now. That's all for the purpose of grooming kids and taking them away from their parents.
Wow, that's a pretty strong agenda. Hey, you're listening to KSCO, and we're going to be taking callers in just a little bit. And if you have something that you want to add to the comments, mm-hmm. If you want to talk to Christy, if you have some experiences that you want to add to our conversation, we welcome your call, and it's at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080 at KSCO.
Yeah, we're on the phone with Christy Lozano, who's a teacher in Santa Barbara. She's exposing a porthole that basically teachers have access to, but parents don't. And some excuse me. Some of the stuff that's being taught in the schools that needs to be exposed, and she's a courageous woman. You really are helping to wake the bear here, Christy. And
That's what we got to do.
We appreciate it. You're waking the bear, and you're questioning the narrative, and those are two of the strongest things that we say here, is that we want people to think. We want people to stop just sitting and being lethargic, but to step in and to act and to move in there. And if you do nothing, evil still rules, and that's why we have to step up.
Mm-hmm. You know, Christy, you know, I also think that you are living the verse, Ephesians 5:11. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's exactly what you're doing. You have nothing, you want nothing to do with those dark deeds, and you are exposing. And that, I think that's a call, especially for Christians, you know. I know a lot of times they want to ride the fence, but I've been told that the devil owns the fence. And, you know, it's true. And so what you're doing is courageous. I'm inspired. I hope others, especially believers, are inspired as well. Like, hey, it's time to expose this. This is horrible. And I know from personal experience, I know some friends, you know, even in ministry, whose kids have really had some difficulty with their faith because they hear the CRT and the LGBT, and all of a sudden they start saying, you know, I think you guys are racist, and you know, and then they have a difficult time because of the perception that I think a lot of this this curriculum is putting out.
Yeah. So it's brainwashing. It's predatory tactics. I mean, you're attacking kids in their formidable years when they're trying to even understand what their what sexuality even is, let alone what. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very, very. I don't know anything else to call it but evil. It's wicked to do that to children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you had a process too. I mean, you as an instructor. By the way, are you still gainfully employed?
I am still gainfully employed, but I'm hiding out in a cave because. They've retaliated on me, and so I've had to take medical leave because it became a little bit too much. But I have 6 days, so I've been able to use those and, you know, and strategize from, you know, where I am currently. But I'm still trying to figure out what to do. I'm looking at job options, you know.
Now, you've been a teacher for a while. Did they just, like, roll out the CRT, like, last year, the year before? Or what was that process?
It's been for 15 years. It really started 15 years ago with a group called Just Communities coming in and doing trainings. And it's like slow poisoning. It's like just a little bit of poison every single day. And they targeted teachers. To target students, and they targeted parents, and they've brought in community programs, and it's been a long, drawn-out process. And, you know, and so sometimes it's overwhelming to think about how to stop it, but people just need to look at their sphere of influence. They need to look at the little things that they can do, and they need to start doing them. And I believe the Lord will bless those efforts, and he'll grow those efforts, and he'll bring communities together, and he'll give you the strategy. But you have to start taking those steps. You can't stand there and do nothing or complain. I mean, complaining and doing nothing is not helpful.
No. Using your sphere of influence. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? The scriptures talk about that, using what you've been given, your influence to, in relationships with people. I actually just talked to a woman. Her husband is a firefighter. He's being laid off basically from his job because he won't take the jab. And the superintendent of their school, they have a couple sons that got taken off their school teams. Well, she went and had a meeting with the superintendent, and the superintendent like changed her mind and changed her ruling. And she just used the relationship. She got face-to-face time, and she had the conversation. And I think that there are some people in the middle out there that are, like, are not fully convinced of all this garbage, but they just need us to do our part to say, we're not okay with this, and that gives them the firepower to say, half of our people are not okay with this, so we're not doing it.
Absolutely. We have to say sin is sin, or what's wrong is wrong, and we don't, you know, have to refer to it as sin. If they're not a Christian, they're not going to hear that language. But yes, they need to hear the other side because they've been inundated. You know, they like to use certain language. They like to use very dramatic language. You know, I've had kids call me sexist. I've had kids call me racist. They don't even know what they're saying.
Yep.
But they've learned a dramatic language that gets them what they want, and it bullies teachers. And so it's learning not to use their language. It's learning to stay calm and respectful, but respond in a strong and respectful way. They'll try and get you into an argument. If you get into an argument, you're going to lose your credibility, and you're going to lose your power. So it's, you know, really having to kind of dig deep to have good conversations and productive conversations and calling into school board meetings and addressing school board members and speaking at the meetings and writing letters and rallying parents. And they need us to lead by example.
Now, I think what Brandon was talking about, too, is we have some very liberal school boards and some less liberal where the parents are actually listened to. Are there particular regions in California that are more targeted, more liberal, like your area in Santa Barbara? I think you also mentioned Salinas.
Yeah, I think so. I think San Francisco, you know, they just overthrew three school board members, which is a huge win.
Yes.
Those parents, that's a huge win. And I think Salinas, Santa Barbara, San Diego, there were some lawsuits filed because of some of the crazy Aztec dancing stuff that was going on down there, and they won the lawsuit. And so there's a lot of good news and a lot of good things happening. And so it should really encourage parents in those targeted areas to keep fighting the good fight, because it takes a while, but it will happen. We will be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if San Francisco, San Francisco can recall three.
Yeah.
And the reason they only got three was they were the only ones that had enough seniority on the school board. The others didn't even have enough time in the office. And as soon as they were recalled, Commissioner Gabriela Lopez, she tweeted out, "So if you fight for racial justice, this is the consequences. Don't be mistaken. White supremacists are enjoying this, and the support of the recall is aligning with this." And so she immediately targeted mm-hmm. the language that you were talking about, the inflammatory language of separating and grouping these parents who actually, it was like 78% voted against her specifically, but all those 78%, even though we know San Francisco is a very diverse city, those 78% were all white supremacists.
Mm. Right, and they'll do that. Whatever way it goes, it doesn't matter. They'll try to turn it into something to work in their favor. And so at some point, you just have to ignore them. And you have to go, no, they're wrong. And just, you know, walk away and let them say what they're going to say. But we know that we got the win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This might be an odd question, but do you feel like you've had attacks on your faith as well? I mean, do they kind of, with, from what I've read with CRT, sometimes they equate like the white colonialism of Christianity or something like that. And have you experienced any of that or?
Yeah, to some degree, because I have my degree in ministry. And so because I said I had my degree in ministry, the article that they wrote about me here in Santa Barbara, they attacked that as well, that, you know, oh, she says she's a minister, but then she's doing this, you know. Mm. And so to some degree they have, but as a public school teacher, it doesn't really go back to my faith very much, because I'm not in that, you know, sphere. But, you know, because of I saying that on video, then the writer, the journalist felt the need to, you know, also attack that. But they do. They do attack that. They do attack Christians and white men. And we had a lawsuit about 4 years ago. It was actually the first lawsuit against the CRT, and it was a group here in Santa Barbara called Fair Education, and they filed the first lawsuit, and they ended up losing the lawsuit because we have bad judges, but it began the spread of CRT lawsuits across the nation. And the basis was that they were targeting white males, Christians, I forget what there was like six categories, but that is something that they will attack, is our faith.
Okay, yeah.
So when you have like a faceless, I'm going to use the word enemy, and I don't mean to be inflammatory, but those people behind the lesson plans, whoever those people are, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who are they? I mean, how do you push back against something that's already embedded in the curriculum, and it doesn't have a name, it doesn't have a face, it's already in the textbooks, which mm-hmm. I think is another thing. The textbook companies obviously are part of this. They've been contracted to write curriculum based on agendas, but how do you push back against the faceless I'll say enemy.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that you do is you talk to your kids and you talk about these things. Okay. And parents don't want to have to do that. Like, we don't want to have these uncomfortable conversations and it's even scary because when you start finding out what your kids know that they're not telling you, you will be surprised at how much they actually know. The books that they're reading about boys wanting to be girls or gay penguins that want to, you know, raise a baby penguin, or they, you know, they make all these books. The books are in the libraries of the schools. They're reading them to first graders, second graders, third graders. Start talking to your kids and start getting that information, and don't ever get mad at your child. Just talk like normal. Like, don't let them see you get upset about it, because they're not going to want to share with you if they get upset. If you get upset, go get upset with the adult. But kind of try and leave the kids out of it. And then talk to the teachers. You know, you go to the teachers. You say, why are you teaching this to my kid? Have those conversations. Meet with the principals if you need to. Go to the school board meetings. Bring it up at school board meetings so other parents know. You know, at the point that we realize something is wrong, we are required to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So at the point that I realized what was going on, I had a responsibility to do something. And, you know, I fear God more than I fear man. That's what I had to do. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I prayed about it. And I made a video, and it went viral. So, like, well, that was the Lord's plan, apparently, because I could have never made that happen. But really, bridge gaps with your kids. If you have gaps with your kids, bridge them. Get some counseling. Get some help. Do whatever you can, because if they feel more loved by you, they won't go with other people. And so that's where love can triumph over evil, but it takes a proactive approach sometimes.
Wow. So wise. That wise words there, Christy. I appreciate you sharing that.
Keeping that connection with your kids, number one.
You know, as you see an entire generation that's being indoctrinated, especially in our state of California. I can't speak to other states where there might be more conservative pushback and different curriculum, but what do you think the result will be on this current generation of school children in light of a whole public school system being agendized with this curriculum?
It is going to be a very bad result. We're already seeing the rates of depression, the rates of suicide, the rates of, you know, like fighting and kids stabbing each other or kids doing things to, you know, even adults. We're going to lose a generation, I think, if we don't. And, you know, it's not just about parents loving kids. We can all love kids. We can be adults that come to their need, you know, care about them, listen to them. You know, we should be the adults. Parents have to have discipline and structure and, you know, that kind of stuff. But that helps kids to feel safe. And so don't be afraid of parenting. Don't be afraid. I'm not, as a teacher, I am not afraid to discipline kids. Mm. And kids love me for it.
Yes, they do.
They really do. It gives them a sense of security. You know, when you tell them something that's wrong, it gives them a sense of security because they're looking for guidance.
That's right.
They're looking, if they're a boy, build them up as a boy. If they're a girl, build them up as a girl so that nobody can try to steal. You know, the devil likes to steal identity. And so, but if we, you know, speak into their identity and build their identity, they're not going to be able to steal it from them, especially if it's genuine. And so if we don't do something, though, I think it's going to be very bad. And we're going to suffer as adults because that generation's not going to take care of us. And, you know, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I talked to a firefighter, his wife, and she was saying that and they had teams go out. When one weekend they had three teen suicides in San Jose County. One weekend. And they were saying that the only thing they saw during this last 2 years as an uptick as a firefighter was the increase in depression and suicide.
Yeah. Kids are struggling. They're really struggling.
Yeah, I want to ask this question of the two gentlemen that are here, Ron and Brandon, and I also want to ask it of you, Christy. I'm going to just pose it to the gentleman first. So where is our message of hope for America with in light of what's going on, and how would you communicate that? Because this is pretty heavy what we're hearing right now.
Well, I think the number one thing is that all it takes for evil to be in control is for good people to do nothing or say nothing. I really believe that if we just believe that if we speak up, we win. Because really what has to happen is you have to bring up the battle and point it out and be someone that says, hey, the emperor has no clothes. And then everybody else goes, oh, you're right. The emperor has no clothes. But nobody wants to be that person. And the reality is we're going to have to become a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We're too okay with being uncomfortable, or with being, you know, with being comfortable. So we need to become uncomfortable. And so I believe that we actually win. Like I think that we outnumber the other side, like 20-1 or more. But it takes one to stand up and to turn the tide. And I think people like you who have courage, Christy, are actually we need to champion you and what you're doing, because then it gives us courage to step up and do it as well.
Yeah, I think for myself, I see the pattern that you see in Israel. You know, when things are going good, everybody's, having a good time, then they take their eyes off of God, right? And they start letting things happen. They start indulging. And all of a sudden, there starts to be a breakdown. I mean, you used to see any great fall of a great nation. You know, there's a breakdown of the family, the government, business, and all that. And next thing you know, the country goes down. I think in this case, that's what drives people to God. It's like, whoa, what happened? You know, because God was always constantly warning, like, hey, don't let the alien come in, sort of thing, because their influences, they have a different way. I've established this particular nation to run under godly rules. And so I think that's what we're doing here. We've let a lot of, and it's not a immigrant or alien thing I'm saying like that. What I'm saying is there's foreign ideas that have crept in, and the bedrock of America was a Judeo-Christian form, you know, 10 commandments and all that stuff. And all of a sudden you start getting Marxism, you know, the socialism, and the things that happened in those regimes were horrible. And so they've crept in. And what do? They divide by race, they divide by gender, you know, and there's this battle. And so what's going to happen is that I believe it's going to drive people to their knees going, I'm not happy. This is not producing fruit in my life or anyone around me. We're miserable and depressed. And I think at that point, they'll start to look up. And I believe that's what revival is just around the corner. I think it's already started. And I believe that the cream in the church is rising to the top. There's a separation within the church. You got the fence riders and the neutral people. And then you've got them that are saying, I'll take a stand. This is what the scriptures, the word of God say, and I'm going to stand on it. And people are starting to look at that. And I think God's going to energize that, and he is. And you're seeing that. And so,
yeah, so what you're saying is that when the pain threshold gets high enough, then the fence riders get off the fence.
Right, that's right.
How about you, Christy? Do you have any words of hope for California?
Yeah, I think 90% of fixing the problem is just bringing it to the awareness of people. So, I mean, that's in a way, it's simple. I mean, communication is kind of hard right now because the media controls things. But there's so many alternative methods of communication now. We're getting better at it. And, you know, if parents rally with each other and people don't have to stand alone, that's better. But if you have to stand alone, because at the end of the day, at least you stood up. You're not going to be held responsible for not doing that. You know, nobody wants to find themselves in that position. But 90% of it is just bringing it to people's awareness. And, you know, you guys are talking about waking up the bear. Speaking truth is how you wake people up. Just continue to speak truth.
That's good. That's really good. And I think part of it, too, for people is it's hard to be the point of the spear. But I do believe that God designed some people to be the pioneer, to go out in front. I do believe you, Christy, are one of those people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not easy, but you have said, yes, I'm going to do that because your comfort was less important than the issue that you wanted to address. So being willing to dig deep, and even when it's hard, to move forward. And, you know, I don't think there are that lack of people in America. I think America has an incredibly resilient spirit. I think our children have incredibly resilient spirits. I think some of them with very strong wills, when they get a hold of reality and they see truth, they're going to step over the line, and they're not going to let anybody tell them lies any longer. And so I have a lot of confidence as the children begin to wake up and they begin to think for themselves. They are strong. Americans are strong. They have that esprit attitude of liberty and intelligence. They know what it means to be free, and they don't like not being free. And then we have this thing called 2022 elections coming up. I think that's a place to be able to exercise some of the things. And like San Francisco, they're not waiting for November. They just took business into their own hands, and they said, you're out of here. And then also when someone goes first, like you, Christy, it is easier for people to come in behind. And there's suddenly a place to follow in, to draft behind, to get in someone's wake, and to go, oh, that's what I've been looking for, a direction to move. I want to be able to move. I just wasn't sure what to do. I didn't want to start anything. I didn't want to create trouble. But there's a direction. I can be behind that person. So when you see somebody who is creating a message that is good and strong, it's really important to gather alongside of them, undergird them, and add your voice so that there's some amplification.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, finding your role, too. You know, the church is made up of different roles. And I think when people know their role and they know how they can contribute, it's going to be a big machine that works together. But, like, I don't think the church has been working that way. And so nobody knows their own identity. It's like, find your identity, people, and let's start working together. There's, you know, people that have the gift of mercy, and there's the administrators, and there's the evangelists, and you know what I mean? If we could kind of find our roles and support each other and learn to compromise, you know, not that we all have to have it our own way, we can start to function as a church in a beautiful way that the Lord has created for it to be. And so it's like not being jealous because I'm the tip of the spear. It's like, well, it's not really a fun position, to be honest with you, but you know, but let's just get together and, like, you know, get some stuff done here.
It's really good.
Yeah, amen. You know, I see that actually with Brandon. You know, he's a pastor of a church, an awesome church, and yet he's involved in his community. You know, as he says a lot, patriots are becoming Christians, and Christians are becoming patriots. And actually, I want to make a plug before the end of the hour. You are starting an Alpha course. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I don't want to miss that.
Oh, yeah. We're tomorrow evening at Convergence, we're actually having a dinner for people that are just exploring who Jesus is. And it's interesting because what I've noticed, and I'm going to parks and meeting in groups, going out into the streets and talking to people, and more people are like going, hey, I'm really seriously considering Jesus now. I'm really considering looking at the Bible now. I really want to know, like, the people are waking up to what's been going on in the world, and what they're also waking up is to the spiritual warfare that's going on around them. They realize innately that it's spiritual that we're facing, that the battles we're facing. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. And so tomorrow night we're having a dinner called Alpha, and it's basically you can come and just share your ideas, and we listen, and we have dinner, and we talk and have a discussion about who Jesus is and what he stood for. And I mean, you want a guy that rocked the boat? Jesus rocked the boat. I mean, he flipped over the tables, and he was, you know, not comfortable with the paradigm that was there. He questioned the narrative. He did all of those things. Jesus was the ultimate rabble-rouser, boat rocker. So if you're interested, I just want to encourage people out there to come join us tomorrow night, 6:30 at Convergence Center in the Capitola Mall. We're going to have dinner, and we're going to talk about who is Jesus, what he stood for, and let people share with their thoughts.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Just wanted put that in there before the end of the night.
Yeah, and before we let you go, Chrissy, would you answer just, we've grown to like you already. We love you as a friend and a sister. What's Thank next you. For you? What I know this is a challenging season, but what's next?
Well, I'm praying about those things, and I'm working on starting a school. If the district's not going to change, we're going to start something new. I have people asking me to run for different offices here in Santa Barbara. I am looking at, you know, different jobs if I need to switch districts. I kind of have, like, a bunch of balls in the air. But my main thing is to help continue to train parents. And so I'm going to try to continue to make some videos for them to kind of get that training or hold panels and talk to parents or be involved in my community so that we can rally to make a change.
What I like about what you're saying, Chrissy, and what your example is that you were willing to say, hey, God is my source. He got me this job and he can get me another one. I don't care about losing my job. I care about doing what's right. And that's courageous. It looks like we have a caller. We only have a few minutes left. But you want to take a caller real quick?
Yep. I'll take it right now. I don't even have the name. Caller, you're on the air. Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Caller.
Hi, this is Greg the welder. I went to school, grammar school and public school in the 60s and 70s, and they used to teach us that everybody was the same. It didn't matter what color of skin we had. And, like, when I was 20-something, I found Jesus, and I realized as I was reading through the Bible that God doesn't see people as Jews or Greeks. It's like we're all the same. And so that's my contribution. It's just like, don't look at what we look at the outside, but look at our character, look at their heart.
Amen. That's beautiful, right, Greg the welder. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
All right, thank you.
Good point.
And we got another caller, actually, so I'm going to put another caller in, and I don't have the name yet on that one. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to really quickly confer with all that Chrissy had to say. And I had several kids in the local school system, so my feet were on the ground about 10 years ago, and saw this coming, saw this slippery slope. You know, the enemy has been shepherding our children for a long time, and I think because parents just were not aware of the indoctrination, the agenda that the enemy had using our education system, Hollywood, music industry, and I would even say in the church to not grow our kids up in the way that we were charged to grow them up and to make them strong and to be able to stick to their godly morals, their godly identity, and that was 10 years ago we were seeing this.
Wow.
And I homeschooled one of my children for a short amount of time, and in the homeschool group, they were pointing these things out, and I thought, gosh, that's a little crazy. That's a little narrow-minded. Mm. But, and I think you guys could do a whole another show on all of this stuff, because I feel like there's a lot of parents who need to wake up, and there's actually a lot of pastors who need to wake up and be shepherding their flock.
Amen. Yes.
And, yeah, so...
Well, thank
There's
you.
A lot more to say, but I know you guys are almost out of time.
We're 1 minute.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
What was your name again?
This is Brandy.
Hi, Brandy. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Brandy.
You bet.
I had to cut her off. We're down less than a minute. I just wanted to thank you, Chrissy, for coming on and sharing your story and a lot of wise words. Thank you so much. And so I don't know.
Thank you for having me, you guys.
Yeah, Lord bless you, Chrissy. We thank everybody for listening tonight, and we are here. This is Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO. We're going to be here next Tuesday as well. So
absolutely, we got some good stuff coming down the line.
Yeah.
So tune in next Tuesday night.
Yeah, for Wake the Bear.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. God bless you.
This has been Wake the Bear.